You're listening to Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
All right, welcome to Freethinker Radio, 5 o'clock hour, KPFT Houston. I'm here with my friends Derek and Johnny. How are y'all?
What's up?
What's up? Johnny's finally here. We're all here.
Good, yeah. Back from my Christmas vacation.
No doubt. I'm really glad about it. Got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. We've got the Epicurean Market over in the Heights at 1245 Heights Boulevard. We've got Ganesha, the Posers. I haven't heard of them yet. Naga Brujo and La Grimas at Satellite Bar 6922 Harrisburg. And starting to see more stuff off in the future, although I have seen a couple of shows canceled. I'm glad to see that. What do y'all got going on?
Did you say you're going to be at that show, Johnny? Is that a place people can go see the infamous
Saturday? Saturday is going to be a banger. It's got Ganesha, and it's pronounced La Grimas. I understand. It's like smushed together word, but that's like a hardcore punk band. They're pretty sick.
I'm going to be there.
You're a band on there. I swear I know it.
I'm going to be there.
I'm losing my mind. There's like two other good bands, though.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, that's something to get into. Yeah, you were kind of saying, Micah, you've seen a couple of shows get canceled or whatever. And I was asking Johnny, talking recently, you know, just how things have changed. I'm actually going to be back in Houston this weekend, so next week we'll get to do an in-person show. That'll be fun. But generally, have you guys seen any changes so far, like to shows or businesses, you know, because of course the news is all about Omicron right now.
White Oak's been closing shows. I saw a FaceTime show we talked about here got closed down. FaceTime and Via Linda, two bands I think we've talked about and played on this show multiple times over the years, and so that show was basically postponed. Other shows have been postponed like that, but the shows at places like Satellite and all those type of places, Trip Sick and stuff, seem to happen. I mean, like you said, you know, reading through this article, I think that kind of speaks to it, you know, at least more than anything we can say. I mean, like, shows are going on, events are going on, people are eating in restaurants, you know, people are going walking their dogs. I haven't seen very many bodies on the ground or anything like that yet. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of that, but I mean, really, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the scene. Johnny, actually, I want to get into this next story with you as we start here on Freethinker Radio. I mean, I think it's a good place to start talking about music because for those who might be new here, we've been doing this for 10 years. Freethinker Radio is all about underground music and uncensored news that you might not hear anywhere else on Houston radio or even on the internet sometimes. And part of that is all three of us have been in different ways over the years connected to Houston's underground scene, different parts of that scene, putting on shows, organizing shows, running house venues, things like that. And Johnny was actually featured in this recent article that did, I think, a reasonable job of looking at some of Houston's music scene, particularly the punk scene and how it's seems to be being led, or at least there's a lot more participation by the Black and Brown community. And one thing I'll say, Johnny, before you can kind of take it away, I thought it was interesting that they were just the idea that music or the scene or just, you know, people's creativity being suppressed during COVID because of lockdowns. And then sort of after a while, it just like bursts out because people can't take it anymore. And people are like, we need to get together. We need to mosh. We need to make music. You know, I feel like, and for some people, COVID during this time has been a really creative time because especially if you did, you know, were forced to stay home for whatever reason, you might have made a lot of music. But yeah, why don't you tell us about this, Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, and it was. I really appreciate Sam for interviewing us and featuring us in the article. He was a cool guy, and it's kind of fun when you think about like Houston as a music scene, because you know, like the led by Black and Brown kids, like it truly is like, you know, just by, I don't know if I want to call it default, but like this city is just like full of diversity. Houston's just so crazy like that, where like at every show, there's so many people of like every kind of background. You hear people speaking different languages and like all that kind of stuff. So like we've always thought that was a cool angle. And yeah, a few new bands have formed recently kind of in the wake of the pandemic, and they've came out swinging. So the shows have gotten bigger. You know, that was something that I used to like to talk about is the fact that during the pandemic, a lot of people were getting divided because we didn't have that like in-person community. And the second that that came back, I think everybody united again. Everybody came out to support each other, and it was just really awesome, you know. And he was asking about COVID and stuff like that. And I pretty much told him, like, you know, I mean, the sports arenas are getting packed every weekend. Like, you know, like, we're not super spreading at the House of Jay. We're not super spreading at Trip 6 and stuff like that. And one thing that we have noticed is kids are moving away from those big venues and coming to the small venues. They're, like, kind of saying, like, I don't want to go get my butthole checked, like, every time I go into that venue. Or, like, I don't want to have to, like, deal with, you know, X, Y, Z. And they're just, like, that traditional punk rock freedom. But it's gotten to the point, it's so multi-genre, it's not even just, like, the punk rock. It's just punk rock ethos more than the genre itself. There's rap, there's hip-hop, there's hip-hop, there's...
I noticed that they included, like, hip-hop artists, too. Everything.
Huh?
I was saying I noticed that they included hip hop artists too, and I think you're right that it is really about the, you know, the ethos and mentality. Really cool to see. Well, yeah, definitely I encourage people to check that out. As always, all the stories we cover today over the next 45, 50 minutes will be at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. We post the archives every week, and you can check out the stories we're getting into. Well, anything you want to say on that, Michael, on that? I mean, I know you, obviously you're really involved in the music scene as well and have been. Both of us have been for years. What do you think about that piece?
I think it's entirely true that what you led into with, like a lot of people have been creative over the lockdown and even during that divisive time where some people weren't sure whether it was good to go out. They just didn't have enough information yet. I think a lot of people, but like Johnny said, you know, once that all lifted up and people came back, it seems like, you know, it was stronger than ever, that recognizing the value of, you know, not just the music, but art in general, like, but the music for sure. And, you know, I know from a Visionary Noise perspective, we spent the entire time in the studio recording albums. We're sitting on albums and videos that artists created that we're just now as it's are getting to the point that they're going to release. So, I mean, we have a lot of creativity just stored up, ready for release. And I don't think we're alone. I think there's a lot of bands that have albums that have dropped recently that are dropping. And, you know, I think KPFT, obviously our show, Brian's show, over at Sweet Nightmares and also Time Warp are shows for people to get their music on. And if you know a band, you want your music video on, please send us a email at music@visionarynoise. Send us the music video and we'll get it on our live stream and it'll play on FM radio. Of course, if there's profanity, we'll hear it, but other people, we only have to share it with, not on FM. But yeah, I think it's a great time for creativity. And I think that the world's been so traumatized that that also motivates art sometimes, you know, no matter where you sit on this, you've seen something that you never saw before that's profound and has affected the world in a profound way. And I expect we'll get profound music and art out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to continue here on Freethinker Radio, guys. As Micah said, if you have music, you want to send it to our way, you can always contact us, and we'd like to broadcast new music whenever we have the opportunity. So let's go ahead and continue. We've got a couple of Texas stories, and we're going to cover a few stories that are either interesting or just important before we dive into the obligatory COVID updates, which are increasingly getting totalitarian and pretty scary. But let's start with what's going on in Houston. According to the Houston Chronicle, there have been an increase in people in the ICU, and this article from Jillian Gill, staff writer for the Chronicle, about a week old, says Omicron is sending vaccinated people to the hospital, but unvaccinated are more likely to end up in the ICU, which is part of the narrative that we've seen over the last few months about this idea that this is a, quote, pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's language used by Joe Biden and others. Of course, in time, we found out that wasn't the case, and this has been proven in a number of different hospital systems that people who have received the shots do continue to go to the hospital. And I think it's interesting the way they phrase this article. So I'll just read a couple of bits from here and then we can talk about it briefly and just move on. But I just wanted to acknowledge this because I know that people who are tuned into our show right now, driving home or wherever they're at when they're hearing this on KPFT or in the Conscious Resistance, they've probably heard on their local news stations or even on KPFT or somewhere else that there are you know, reasons to be afraid to go outside and things really bad outdoors. So it says Omicron is sending a larger share of vaccinated people to the hospital than any previous COVID variant. So they admit that more vaccinated people are going to the hospital, but they're claiming unvaccinated people are still more likely to need critical care. And they give a couple of stats. They say 22 of the 27 COVID patients in Harris Health System's intensive care units are unvaccinated. At Houston Methodist, it says roughly 60% of the 80 COVID patients are unvaccinated. And a high percentage of the patients have, this is what I think is interesting, and a high percentage of the remaining patients have underlying health conditions, which we've been saying for a while is a big indicator of, you know, how somebody will be affected by this. So then you go down here a little bit further and it gets to some more interesting stats that I feel like should have been probably the first paragraph. It says a recent study from Houston Methodist Hospital found that 675 of 1,300 hospitalized patients, that's just about a little less than half, with Omicron were vaccinated. And they say this is a significantly higher share than Alpha and Delta. So whatever you think about Omicron, Delta, Alpha, whatever, and the virus, the whatever, COVID-19 itself, even according to this hospital's own numbers, at least half of the people that are showing up there are people who've had the shots. And yeah, I thought that was interesting. And it's saying that like statewide, that the numbers appear to be on the rise according to the Texas Department of State and Health Services. But I do want to remind our listeners who maybe weren't with us last year that we found out last year that the Texas Department of Health and Human Services is not distinguishing between people who have COVID, who have gotten sick with COVID or, you know, died from something else, but also tested COVID. And even recently I saw on CNN this acknowledgement that that basically some hospitals haven't been giving the full accurate numbers, that while people are hearing the hospitals are overflowing with Omicron patients or COVID patients, they're not necessarily distinguishing between people who say ended up in the hospital for one reason or another and then tested positive for COVID, but they're not ill, they're not, you know, in the ICU or anything like that. But still, those numbers will get counted as being with COVID, you know, and then on the afternoon news, people will hear that and that'll kind of be the messaging, right? It's like, hey, the hospitals are overflowing with COVID patients, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. What do you guys think about the mouthful I just said there first?
Well, I do think it's interesting that you say that based on the stats from that hospital, I think it was Methodist, that half the people there are vaccinated. And that kind of troubles the whole idea that I guess at best they're arguing that it's a symptom mitigator because the people who are unvaccinated may end up in the ICU more likely or something. But so that I don't know. I think it kind of troubles the narrative that, and I think that narrative's been kind of beat down. But I guess what's a dead horse good for besides, you know, shooting again? So, you know, I do think that the narrative that the vaccines will make everything okay is long but gone. And so now it's a question of just how much of a symptom mitigator and at what cost are the various vaccines. At least that's my take on it.
Yeah, and people have to make their own choices. We're not trying to tell anybody what to do. Before we get your take on this, Johnny, if you have any thoughts, I just want to play this quick clip to back up what I was just saying. Look, this is CNN criticizing the COVID hospitalization count. This is Jake Tapper and what's his name? Dr. Sanjay Gupta. So very mainstream here. Now saying, as Micah just said, we've been beating this dead horse now for almost 2 years, and now here's the mainstream to catch you up and say, oh, by the way, they haven't been distinguishing the different data. So just check out this 2-minute clip here.
The hospitals are still stretched thin because of this, so I'm not trying to take away from that. But if 40% in some hospitals, 40% of the people who have COVID don't necessarily have problematic COVID. They're there because they got in a car accident. They're there because, they bumped their head. And they're being included as in the hospital with COVID. That number seems kind of misleading.
Yeah, I agree, Jake. It surprises me that they have not been able to parse out that data more carefully. I think the data that Dr. Olensky is quoting is from New York State, and we've been following that data as well. And I can show you what we've seen, sort of tracks with what she said. But out of all the patients that are in the hospital, about 57%, these are COVID patients, admitted because of or complications from COVID, 43% admitted for other reasons and then diagnosed with COVID. I think, you know, there needs to be transparency about that in terms of for or with COVID. The only thing I will tell you, Jake,
I think that pretty much covers. I think that, hold on. Okay, I think that pretty much covers what I was trying to get at there for everybody who hopefully heard that. He said 43% of the patients in this specific New York hospital system we're looking at were people who were admitted for other reasons and then tested positive with COVID later. But again, all the people here on the news is this one number, this one, oh my God, everybody's overflowing.
So even I think it's a big
unrelated.
I think it's a big problem that we see with mass media in general is like the way it tries to blur causal connection and disavow that they ever claim it's there. So really what we're talking about, causal connection here, 57%, right, had or no, 57% had or were there admitted because of symptoms or things that were related to COVID. And even then, you've got the question of the people that were, with pre-existing conditions that the COVID just put it over the top. And that's another section to look at for the causal relation to death. So all along the way, we're talking about the science, and we're having headlines that say there's so many people in the hospital because of it. But as you brought up and we brought up before, these numbers are skewed. And so you really got to do your research. You really got to get out there and say, you know, how deep is this? Because if you're just like, oh, yeah, COVID is bad, because obviously COVID's bad. Nobody on this show would deny that COVID is bad. But, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean we need to do in our own lives? And what does it mean, you know, that we should expect or whatever from public servants to say, you know, anything about that. But yeah, that's shocking to hear that. And I mean, I think it's good that CNN themselves are finally starting to question that. I mean, I think that ought to show most people that aspect of the COVID information.
I mean, it's only been 2 years, right?
Yeah.
It's only been two years.
That's what I was going to say. We've known since like, what's that doctor? Dr. Burks? Dr. Bricks? I can't remember her name. But anyway, yeah. They said way back 2 years ago that they're going to take a liberal, quote, liberal approach to how they view the hospitalizations and the deaths. So it's like they've handled these numbers like really. Sorry, I just lowered my chair.
Yeah.
Taking that liberal approach to pretty much everything as far as counting in the hospitals, and the media is like taking advantage of that. So, I mean, I do hope people realize like, you know, how misleading all of that kind of stuff is. And it's crazy to see everything being pushed so hard, first shot, second shot, third shot, while we do see those hospital numbers like up. Like, I mean, listening to NPR, like they're just like all laying it on thick. Like that's like a little blip of CNN. Like you're not going to hear that anywhere besides that 2 minutes of CNN or on Freethinker Radio in Houston. So
exactly. And Micah, you made a good point though, just about like in Johnny's, what you're kind of saying there, that gets just a little 2 minute clip out of an hour long show that somebody in the community chopped up, but the average person probably missed that clip. Or if they heard it, they didn't really quite get the significance of like, oh my God, that means I've been being, you know, how long has that been going on? What does that mean as far as this whole narrative? It's hard for people to break it down, I think, when they've been dealing with, dare we say, mass formation psychosis, and, you know, been conditioned at this point to believe a narrative. It's hard for people to question that. I just want to say one more thing before we move on to the next story, that on the Conscious Resistance and on this show, for those who are watching on the screen, I'm showing you, if you go to theconsciousresistance.com and so just search Texas and COVID, I did two reports that we played here on Freethinker Radio called Are Case Numbers Being Manipulated in Texas, where I went back, this is July 2020, so a year and a half ago, showing this exact thing, showing that on the Texas Department of Health and Human Services, that they eventually added a label, a warning saying we are not counting the cases separately, you know, for whatever it's worth, right? So the information's out there, but I recognize that how many people, like even people hearing the show, right? People listen to podcasts and listen to radio programs because they don't have time to dissect information, because they don't have time to pay attention to every CNN broadcast and watch a 4-hour, you know, podcast and get to these details. So I think that's why it's important to have independent media and independent radio like Freethinker Radio on KPFT, of course. But I empathize that there are people out there who maybe don't have the time to dissect all this stuff, which is why we're trying to do this and say, hey, if you haven't heard this, maybe next time you hear the numbers on the TV or on Houston Chronicle, it might be worth questioning and asking some deeper questions about it.
Right. And we don't even have time to dissect all of it. We have a bunch of friends in the independent media helping us out. So.
No doubt. And you talk about it being worth something. And I think being able to reach, even if we fumble through questions, being able to reach people with these ideas. And if you're commenting, I see these comments, like you mentioned the screen as we live stream this as well. If this show's reaching you, you've ever picked up, you know, the Wall Street Journal, you've ever paid for the Times, you've ever bought the Chronicle, you ever, you know, subscribe to a magazine, you got to look at how much effort it takes to just, you know, get this show together every week, put it out there, have KPFT available to support not just this show and the others. So, you know, we're looking for people who recognize that value and want to show their appreciation for it through support of Freethinker Radio and KPFT. And you can find out how to do that right there at kpft.org.
Absolutely.
Thank the world for keeping us on the FM and keeping other shows and keeping, you know, just keeping the ideas alive, keeping, you know, the ability to question the narrative out there for people besides even ourselves. So thank you, those that do.
Absolutely. Well, let's continue here on Freethinker Radio. We got three stories that are a couple of just interesting points, and we're going to get to Prince Andrew. Yep, there's an update about Prince Andrew and that whole Epstein network, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. Maxwell found guilty on 5 charges. I don't know if we gave the update, Mike, on that, but we'll talk about that in a moment. We're going to hit these three stories and then go to our first music break, and we'll come back with more COVID news from around the world. But first, we're still in Texas. Micah, what's happening? Facebook is Meta, they're coming to Texas. Is this a thing?
I guess, you know, for a while we've been seeing Austin grow with tech, with Tivoli and others. But it turns out that Meta is moving to Texas. The parent company of Facebook is taking on the most massive lease in downtown Austin. It's the largest lease ever in downtown Austin, in fact. It's larger than the entire Frost Bank Tower in terms of square feet. Meta has leased the entire commercial half of a building that's actually still under construction at West 6th and Guadalupe Street, a 66-story tower. So, yeah, they're moving in.
Lame.
I guess we can expect, you know, some sort of effect of that as time goes on. But, yeah.
I mean, it's not surprising.
A huge effect, I'm sure.
Well, it's not surprising at all, man, because we already have Amazon and Google both have offices in Austin. And for those who've been paying attention to kind of like the technocracy and just all this push to metaverse, dystopian, whatever stuff. Austin is a hotbed for it. I don't know why they chose that. Years ago, they've talked about making Austin the Silicon Valley of Central Texas. And the mayor of Houston, he was making attempts. He's working with Microsoft and others. He wants to turn Houston into the Silicon Bayou city or something like that. I can't remember what terms he used. But yeah, they're definitely pushing to bring this technology and these companies to Texas. So
they offering a championship like they did for the 5G?
Yeah, maybe the mayor will get a metaverse championship for this next act.
He gets a trophy.
Well, and then this next story here is just an interesting one. I saw it go across the headlines, but I hadn't had a chance to check it out. But one of you can take this one. There's apparently now the first time that a pig heart is inside a human body. I don't even know what to think about this yet.
Yeah, no doubt. I just we like to cover the strange things that happen as well. And that, you know, we got another interesting one coming to you from the world of technology. You know, in some ways you could look at this as freeing for people whose hearts are failing or whatever. But yeah, they claim an ambitious crew of doctors transplanted a genetically modified pig's heart into a human patient for the first time last week, making a historic moment for medicine. As of Monday, 3 days after the surgery, the 57-year-old organ recipient, David Bennett, was reportedly doing well. So, I mean, is this promise? Is this crazy? What do you guys think? Tell me.
I don't want to be anti-tech and just say like, okay, this is weird, so it's bad, right? It feels weird. I don't like it or something like that. But it does feel weird. I mean, I know that this is the first time that a pig heart has put into human, but this isn't the first animal human transplant ever though, I think, for right?
I mean, I think, would you rather have a pig heart or a lab grown heart?
I mean, I don't know. I really hope that I don't want any human. I mean, I don't want any operations. So let me just see what it says here. It says to conduct life-saving operations as a last resort, doctors genetically modified a pig's heart to increase the chances of this man's body accepting it as his own circulatory control center. Without such modifications, non-human to human organ transplants carry risks like triggering severe and sometimes fatal immune responses. I mean, that's the scariest part, right? Like, how is your body going to react to it. I don't know. I'll just throw this thought out there because I had a conversation with Miriam recently, just in general about transplants, not even just pig transplants or, you know, whatever, but just human to human transplants, right? Think about just if you get somebody's liver, you're getting like, you know, they drank with that, everything they drank went through that liver. And not only it's like connected to them, it has like part of their DNA in it. I mean, obviously these transplants happen, but sometimes a body does reject a transplant and it's just like, nope, this is not mine. This doesn't work or whatever. And yeah, you have this immune response or something crazy. I just think it's trippy to kind of think about how you might not only just be getting someone's organ or blood or whatever, but maybe there are other pieces of a person that are carried within organs. I don't know. Maybe that's crazy.
I don't know, man. It's possible. I mean, certainly we don't ever understand everything about DNA and all that kind of stuff, like you said. So I'd assume that that definitely goes along with it. I think that it is weird. You know, you get weirded out when you think about like doctors trying new things, but I guess maybe that's the only way we have gotten here. Like some crazy guy was like, well, I could cut you open and try to get it out, you know, and that's now we have surgeons. So I don't know if it's as long as the person agreed to it and knew the risks, I think that that's not like the worst thing in the world. But
yeah, you don't want to get
especially if it's saving lives.
You don't want to be a Shanghai organ transferee. You know, you don't want to just randomly be
wake up in a bathtub with ice.
Yeah. I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that pig heart works out for that man, and maybe it's just the beginning of more pig hearts to come.
David Bennett.
Yeah, good luck, David Bennett. And sorry to the pig. So one more story before we hit our first music break of the afternoon, of the evening. First thing I'll say is we covered the Ghislaine Maxwell guilty verdict a couple weeks ago, 5 of 6 counts guilty of conspiracy to commit sexual assault and just a number of different things. And then there was breaking news within days of that where all of a sudden one of the jurors comes out and says, I had been a victim of sexual assault before this happened, and they lied about it because otherwise they would have been removed as a juror because people would say that they are biased. And now this has given cause for Maxwell's attorneys to say we need a retrial. And there's some kind of back and forth going on right now. This update just from today says the juror in the Ghislaine Maxwell sex trafficking case who spoke out about being sexually abused has asked the judge to see a pretrial questionnaire in which he was asked about his own history of sexual assault. The juror told The Independent he had found victims' testimony credible in part due to his own experience. So he's directly saying, well, because of my own experience. So, yeah, there are people worrying, you know, there's, of course, conspiracies or concerns like that this could be a setup or a plant or something. But nonetheless, more drama in that arena. So I don't think, you know, she's behind bars allegedly right now. All we've seen is pictures, but I do have friends who reported and did see her in trial. But that's just one update. We'll just continue that because this is all part of the Epstein network, right? The man we were told who killed himself a couple years ago. We're still seeing the repercussions of that. Ghislaine Maxwell was his madam, his handler. Her father was connected to British intelligence. Some people think she was the one in charge. Well, also Prince Andrew, there's pictures of him and Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, UK's Prince Andrew. And he's long been accused by different Epstein and Maxwell victims, now adult women, of having been involved in this. And there's a really kind of famous picture of Prince Andrew with Virginia Giuffre. Here, we're showing it on screen for those who can see, and Ghislaine Maxwell all together. And she's pictured at 17 years old. This is, you can see Prince Andrew with his hand on the waist of this allegedly 17-year-old girl who was part of the whole network. And she's now an adult woman, and she has been suing and trying to get some justice. Well, now just today, a judge ruled that they will not dismiss a lawsuit against Prince Andrew. He's been protected for a while. The British courts and police have decided not to go after him. But now Virginia Giuffre is filing a civil claim, which is basically all she can do. And he tried to get it dismissed, and a federal judge said, nope, it can go forward. So Giuffre, who's now 38 years old, says that she was forced into sex at 17 with Prince Andrew, Duke of York, by his associates, Epstein and Maxwell. And, you know, there's this whole network, right? So we're still digging into this network. And we'll see what comes out of that. It is just a civil trial, but it could lead to more of the picture being revealed. And then the last little thing here, and then I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on this. Just last week, this was the other interesting angle, that there was a settlement that had been secret for over 10 years, where Prince Andrew, after the first time Virginia Gaufrey made these accusations, he made a confidential settlement in 2009, and it was the courts last week allowed it to become public, and we found out that it was a $500,000 settlement deal, which contained a provision that said that other potential defendants could not be, you know, charged or things like this. So she basically was given some money, I guess, as a way to settle her accusations against Prince Andrew. And part of it was basically saying, oh, you can't go after other people. So some of these potential co-conspirators out there, they might be nervous, but also they probably believe that these non-prosecution agreements give them protection. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that this is mainstream news. I did see at least CNN touch it, right? The Prince of the Duke of York, Prince of England, accused of sex trafficking, connected to the Epstein network, connected to intelligence. I mean, wow, 2022, right?
Yeah. I don't know. There's nothing good to say about that, man. That's sad. And the mistrial in the Ghislaine Maxwell, that's upsetting. I don't know.
Sketchy.
I don't know which way that's going to go. I mean, like, we already saw what happened with Epstein, obviously, and I mean, that truly was a crazy and continues to be a crazy web that disgusts me. And I don't know. It's one of those things that you hope you don't find out more. And there's always more to the story. And like, it's kind of obvious at this point what's going on. But hopefully there's some justice. I don't know. I mean, these are some powerful people. It's like it's always we investigated ourselves and we're not guilty.
Yeah, the best we can hope is that some real justice will come out of that. I mean, like, maybe it gets more people thinking at the least, but if none of these people go to prison, then I feel like that's ultimately, like, I'm never going to fault a victim, right, of assault for saying, hey, I'm going to take money, I'm going to take a deal. But it really does suck that none of these things really go to trial. The Ghislaine Maxwell trial, none of the intelligence connections were mentioned in the entire 2 or 3 week trial. It was just like a very narrow kind of look at the case. So there's just so much details being left out.
I do want to encourage people who want more information on this to check into the Maria Farmer interviews on Last American Vagabond. And Derek's written a lot of stuff on this too, right? The Finders, he's done Finders documentaries. And where can they find those? ConsciousResistance.com.
Yep. Yeah, I actually just released a new interview from that whole Finders case. I just went out there and did that. But it's a real phenomenon. Unfortunately, there are powerful people involved with this. I think it's time for a music break, guys. And anything you want to add to that, Micah? Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein, Prince
Andrew. I think it's interesting. You know, all the court cases we've been talking about, this is another example of, you know, the battle. It's everywhere. So, you know, we're going to see it a little bit in there, too. And like you said, maybe more information will come out because, you know, the plaintiff in these has all kinds of room to make discovery and subpoenas and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, they're hungry, you know, for justice. And sometimes these judgments that they get are the closest thing they know how to get justice for something like that. So, you know, they spend their energy and different lawyers spend time arguing and digging. And, you know, that's probably more digging into it than we're able to do sometimes, you know. So I like you said, let's look forward to seeing what comes out of it. And it's unfortunate, you know, that sometimes these things are kept in the lanes so much. But we've seen a few things come out of different trials, even the fluoride trial, you know. So I think all these things are important if you care about these issues to pay attention to what happens here. Because if nobody's paying attention, then I guess it doesn't even matter what happens, you know. Because
exactly,
we can't talk about it societally, and we can't rest on it as precedents because they'll just have more and more cases, et cetera. So, yeah, let's get into some music for sure.
Yeah. All right, guys. We got about 25 minutes left on the show here on Freethinker Radio. We do this every Wednesday, uncensored news, underground music. You can find us at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. We broadcast weekly on the Conscious Resistance and on 90.1 KPFT in Houston. If you love what we're doing and you want more people in Houston to hear it, especially on the radio where there is often a lack of truth, please go to kpft.org. Consider making an investment in the name of Freethinker Radio. I'm going to debut again my most recent song called 33 is Here. Check this out. We'll be right back with some COVID crazy news.
There's something new for you. I ain't up next because I'm here right now. 33 is here! I'm never gonna stop, man, I'ma keep rising. I'm too strong to kill, I'ma keep fighting. I live every day like it's gonna be my last, and I keep on rising cause I'm better than my past. I'm never gonna stop, man, I'ma keep rising. I'm too strong to kill, yo, I'ma keep fighting. I live every day like it's gonna be my last, and I keep on rising cause I'm better than my past. I'm better than my past and I'm never going back, back to the place where it all went black. I lost myself for a minute, now I see the truth in me and it's hard to believe. It felt like time is just slipping away, like I'm stuck in a loop, same shit every day. There's better days ahead, I can feel it in my bones. I need to find a way out and stop selling stones. Someone told me that we choose the life we live. Our souls knew the path before we're even kids. I wonder why my soul took the hard road. Of all the paths to choose, I chose the unknown. But I wouldn't take it back, man, I'm never going back. I'm loving my life, no secrets to unwrap. I broke free of my scars and prison bars. I'll say it again, man, I'm aiming for the stars. I'm never gonna stop, man, I'ma keep rising. I'm too strong to kill, I'ma keep fighting. I live every day like it's gonna be my last, and I keep on rising cause I'm better than my past. I'm never gonna stop, man, I'ma keep rising. I'm too strong to kill, yo, I'ma keep fighting. I live every day like it's gonna be my last, and I keep on rising cause I'm better than my past. What's left to do when you can manifest anything? There's nothing I can't overcome, it's my dream. I found the power deep in my own struggle. Was hiding from myself, living a double life. Got no time for death, I stared her down. Ate the pills, slit the wrist, even tried to drown. There's nothing you can say to hold me back. Say it now, 33 is here and I'm on the attack. I ain't no great white, but I'm out for blood. The sense in the air, the criminals up to no good. I'm coming for the ones who think they own the people. They work to mold the minds, tending to their sheeple. But we're the realization of the creator's vision. It's time for us to change the world, let it begin. This is our time to design with our hearts. We're creating the world of the future, and I'm doing my part. I'm never gonna stop, man, I'ma keep rising. I'm too strong to kill, I'ma keep fighting. I live every day like it's gonna be my last, and I keep on rising cause I'm better than my past. I'm never gonna stop, man, I'ma keep rising. I'm too strong to kill, yo, I'ma keep fighting. I live every day like it's gonna be my last, and I keep on rising cause I'm better than my past. I'm never gonna stop. I'm too strong to kill, like it's gonna be my last, and I keep on rising cause I'm better than my past. 33 out.
All right, welcome back to Freethinker Radio. This is Derek Bros with Micah Jackson and Johnny. That was my song, 33 is Here. I perform under the name 33. You can find more of that at soundcloud.com/33is here. And we mentioned this last week. We have an event coming up at the end of the month that I want to invite everybody to, wherever you live, wherever you're listening from, the Greater Reset. You can check it out at thegreaterreset.org, January 26th to the 30th for free, 5 days online, people talking about permaculture, getting your technology out of big tech, organizing your community, mental health, spiritual health, physical health, and lots of solutions for free. You can watch it online at thegreaterreset.org. So we do have a bunch of COVID news to get into, guys, and I can already tell we're not going to have time to get into everything today. But this
is not everything.
Not everything. We can't talk about everything. We could do the news blast. Before we get into this COVID stuff, this is one more that I thought was like, again, we talking a few moments ago about the COVID and how people hear all the fear mongering, but they don't hear the stories where they're like, wait, hold on. Maybe the hospitals aren't being counted correctly. Maybe these numbers don't mean what I think they do. And they just go on believing that. Well, we just found out this news story published about a week ago from the Seattle Times. And it says that Seattle police faked radio chatter about Proud Boys as the CHOP, which was the Capitol Hill organized protest, or the CHAZ as it was originally known, formed in 2020 and investigation finds. So here it says that at a crucial moment during 2020's racial justice protests, Seattle police exchanged a detailed series of fake radio transmissions about a non-existing group of menacing right-wing extremists. The radio chatter about members of the Proud Boy marching around downtown Seattle, some of them possibly carrying guns, and then heading to confront protesters on Capitol Hill, was a, quote, improper ruse or a dishonest ploy that exacerbated a volatile situation, according to findings of the city's Office of Police Accountability. So, of course, the Proud Boys are seen as like a far-right organization. Some consider them to be extremists, you know, these kinds of labels. But definitely not the kind of folks that would be welcomed at this CHOP, CHAZ protest. And so on June 8th, 2020, after the police department decided they were going to abandon the Capitol Hill area and leave it to the protesters. And just as the protesters were starting to get organized and set up their autonomous zone, which was later considered to be an organized protest, the cops went and literally organized with walkie-talkies saying, it looks like a few of them might be open carrying. Okay, we're hearing from the Proud Boys group. They might be looking for a confrontation. Knowing that the protesters were listening to police radios, and this was all done on purpose. None of it was going on. There were no armed people. And it's interesting because this came at a time where, because of that, a lot of the protesters started carrying guns. And there's another aspect of this that involves Trump here. Let me go on a little further. It says, on June 8th, the chatter about Proud Boys was an approved misinformation effort. That's what they even called it. Via radio that led multiple police leaders that multiple police leaders knew about, according to this new summary. And it's going to be reviewed now by the police chief. And it says it's unlikely that anyone will be losing their jobs or pay over the incident. The two employees who ordered and supervised the misinformation effort and the person, the sustained allegations of policy violations have already left the department. So basically they're saying nobody's going to be held responsible for this in any way. Let me pull up one other aspect about
what happened to integrity.
So listen to this part here, right? It says, social media posts warning about the Proud Boys by people who were monitoring police radios caused alarm in the protest zone. So the cops organized a disinformation, misinformation effort, fake Proud Boy stuff. The protesters hear about it. They start posting on social media, we got armed right-wing extremists, racists coming. And then it says, some people in the zone may have brought guns regardless of the chatter. The report found that this ruse, this lie, quote, improperly added fuel to the fire. And then this is an important part. It says, in ensuing days, police leaders raised concerns about reports of armed people patrolling the zone and extorting business owners. Some of you guys might remember that. One of the criticisms about the CHOP or the CHAZ, like, don't you see this anarchism has turned into violence? Now they're extorting business owners. And it says those leaders in the police department, including then police chief Carmen Best, later walked back the extortion claim, lacking evidence. And it says, but photos and description of the scene became national news. Even Trump threatened to take back the city because of these alleged extortions. So, I mean, it just goes to show how much truly fake propaganda there is out there. And people take those and then, I mean, they carry it. And how many conversations? Oh, did you hear about this thing that happened? Oh, the Proud Boys were coming. You know, it's just.
That's the problem with just being a repeater and not checking into it or even saying if this is true and, you know, putting it in that sort of hypothetical. You know, because these protest leaders there are just hearing it. And who are they hearing it from? You know, and then they're turning around and saying that it's so and leading people into believing that it's so. Maybe they go over there just to counter protest them or something. You know what I mean? So then they're all herded over there. I think people ought to think about that. Like, really, like you said, you know, propaganda is everywhere. And they were basically herded over, like their behavior was influenced by this, you know, broadcast that they took to be true because it was from an authority, you know, and they acted based on that being truth rather than, you know, going and looking or sending maybe a scout over there to check it out, you know, or whatever it may be. So I'm glad you brought that one up because, you know, it kind of shows some of the tactics. And, you know, it ties into a story that we might have time to get into later, but I don't know if we will, maybe next episode, about the how they're trying to get more funding for domestic terrorism. But you got to ask yourself, if police are broadcasting that, you know, armed extremists are marching the street on the police radio, a lot of people listen to the police band, truck drivers, tow truck drivers, all kinds of people, you know. So I think that, like you said, that's a – and it's kind of interesting that those people are no longer with the force. What? Huh?
Yeah, what you want to say something, Johnny?
Yeah, man. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting how, like, a lot of people have this idea of, like, how someone would police in a certain situation. And you'd like to think with that much, like, civil unrest that, like, they wouldn't be essentially stoking the fire – and, like, trying to get these people riled up and get these people thinking that guns are a necessary defense in that moment when there weren't necessarily people walking around before that. And then also just realizing how wild it is that, like, the reaction of a local police department, like, you know, just, like, down the line rippled all the way up to essentially the president. I mean, it's just kind of like,
exactly.
Holy crap. Like when you talk about misinformation, like in like one decision, like really mad. And like this guy doesn't, this cop could have been freaking nobody who didn't really know, like, you know, what was going on. And he was just trying to solve the problem creatively in his own way, like, you know, nail and hammer kind of thing. And like, look at what happened. So it's just like, that's the reason that police are supposed to have more integrity, not supposed to use lies and misinformation to trick people into putting themselves in vulnerable positions to get caught. That's called entrapment. Like, things like that, like, are the reason that people don't trust police.
Absolutely.
So that's what I want to say.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, we're going to continue. We got about 10, 12 minutes with you. And Mike, actually, I wanted to jump into that next story because I do think this perfectly plays into the talks of domestic extremism. I'm pulling it up now. We had there's a panel even going on at, you know, in the Senate. So, you know, people like on the left, the extreme leftists, as some might put them, who organized the CHAZ or CHOP, they might be seen as domestic terrorists or domestic extremists. And then the Proud Boys or the people on the, you know, apparently opposing end would also be labeled that. A lot of us, even people who don't want shots and vaccines. So it's not, I think, coincidental that we're here on the anniversary of what they're calling an insurrection. And the talk is nigh about domestic terrorism again. But tell us what this whole panel's about.
Yeah, it turns out that Assistant Attorney General Matthew Olson announced the creation of a new unit that during his opening remarks during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing Tuesday. He said, quote, "I decided to establish a domestic terrorism unit." You know, this attorney general, boom, bam, there you go. You got a whole new unit, right? Boom, just like that. "To augment our existing approach," Olson said, "this group of dedicated attorneys, a whole unit of attorneys, oh my God, will focus on the domestic terrorism threat in helping to ensure that these cases are handled properly and effectively coordinated across the Department of Justice and across the country." So, yeah, it looks like, you know, there's going to be more focus. And, you know, if it was a foreign nation, we'd say saber rattling. You know, they say they expect, you know, there to be a rise in domestic terrorism. They said from both racially motivated and anti-authority and anti-government groups. So I don't know what they base all that intel on, but that's what he said. That's what he argued to Senate for.
Can we get the Patriot Act for 1 second and like how this ties to that now?
I don't trust these people at all, man. And I think that these stories are both really disturbing. Like, okay, with the announcement of a new division focused on domestic terrorism, they're using that. They're even trying to really, like, I mean, there's literally politicians saying that what happened on January 6th last year is the same thing as 9/11. Like, they're trying to make that comparison now and, like, use the 1-6 label. But I just wanted to, like, if there's a theme maybe here, it's that we can't trust the cops when it comes to, especially if you're an activist and you're out there organizing. If you're listening to police radio, I wouldn't necessarily just trust everything you hear there. Be careful, you know, like Micah said, maybe send a scout or whatever, but just be aware, COINTEL, these programs have existed for over 60 years now, 50, 60 years, to try to deceive, to divide, to separate us. And so it doesn't surprise me that there would be a purposeful spread of misinformation while also trying to label people domestic extremists. And one last point I'll make is that, look, if you didn't know this, one of the leaders of the Proud Boys, it was revealed in the last year that he was an FBI informant. So I don't know.
How is that not like a huge deal? Like,
I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, this is not a good circle of people to be running in.
You have to question like the legitimacy of like,
who's leading the movements, right?
Well, yeah, if the person's leading the movement, how many people were brought in that wouldn't have been brought in had he not even participated? Like, you know, there's like a member and then there's someone who's like actively like facilitating like events and things to bring more people into the ideas.
Well, let's continue. We got a few more minutes here. Get into some COVID news. We'll try to do a few headlines. But this one, I think, again, continues on to the conversation of talk of potential domestic extremists. Because, yes, people have over the last 2 years labeled people who don't want the shots or are hesitant for whatever reason as extremists. And this is just announced today. Breaking, the Biden administration is making lists of religious vaccine objectors, reported by the Daily Signal. And it says a tiny administrative agency in Washington, D.C. announced a new policy on Tuesday that will likely serve as a model for the whole of government push to assemble lists of Americans who object on religious grounds to the COVID shots. Now, have you ever heard of the Pretrial Services Agency? Well, neither have I, but apparently they are a federal independent entity that assists officers in Washington, D.C. in formulating release recommendations and providing supervision and services to defendants awaiting trial. So for whatever reason, they announced that they're going to have a new record system that will store names and, quote, personal religious information of all employees who make religious accommodation requests for religious exception for the federal mandated vaccine requirements. So this is specifically for people like if you're in the federal government, I'm guessing, or if you're a contractor. And as we know, the Biden administration is trying to enforce this mandate to those people. If you're opting out for religious reasons, there is this pretrial service agency is apparently going to start gathering a list, and it says it's effective immediately that they're going to start doing this. So that's not cool. Like you said earlier, Johnny, lists always turn out great, right?
Don't you just love lists? I mean, they lead to the best things. People on them, people not on them.
Yeah. Hopefully you make the list. Well,
Whistler, are you on the list?
I don't know if we want to make that list per se, but look, the fact that we're at that point where they're talking about lists, keeping track of people, whatever you think about the shots, I think we should be able to objectively say that's not a good idea. What about people's privacy? What about, you know, health privacy? What about HIPAA laws? Or, you know, you could get all kinds of different arguments.
The problem is once you start doing that, then it's like you always have to like go and explain all kinds of things. You know, like once you start asking, well, it's a religious exemption. Like, well, what religion is it? Well, what makes that religion legitimate compared to like this religion? It's like, well, who are you to say I'm a bad Christian and you're not a bad Christian? You know, it's like that's the personal freedom aspect. Like, am I allowed to be a crappy version of my religion, or allowed to choose how I believe spirituality, or pick and choose whatever I want? Because that seems to be what everyone does, anyways.
Well, so I think Micah said it best before that it's really all personal exemptions, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So yeah, it really shouldn't matter. But either way, if they're going to start tracking religious people, why wouldn't they also just track anybody who's saying they want an exemption at all? You know, what? I don't know why they would just focus on, maybe religious folks would say, oh, it's because they're targeting Christians or whatever. But I think it's more just about targeting people. I want to get this one in as we start to wrap up, because guys, this is the threshold that we have moved to. You got a columnist for the LA Times, not a small paper, major mainstream paper, newspaper, and online paper, Michael Hilsick, journalist for the LA Times, I guess if you want to call him that. This is the title of his new article: Mocking Anti-Vaxxers' Deaths is Ghoulish, Yes, But Necessary. And he's tweeted this out several times over the last few days. He's pretty proud of it. And I think the headline says it all. This is a kind of macabre look at the COVID crisis and saying, well, if people don't want to get the shots, they're stupid anyway, so let's make fun of them. And I guess he at least is keeping up with his sentiment, because when you go to his Twitter account, he has just shared pictures and stories talking about people who chose not to get shots that they say died of COVID.
Mr. Rogers, he wrote that?
He wrote that. Yeah, he looks like
Rogers over there.
He could be your friendly neighbor, but no, he's actually wishing death upon you.
No.
But I mean, what do you think that says that we're
he's not wishing death upon you. He's just going to make fun of you if you die.
I mean, there's a thin line.
There's a distinction. He's going to laugh when you die. He doesn't want you to, but if you do, it'll be funny to him.
One of the definitions of ghoulish says, more morbidly interested in death or disaster. So he says it's ghoulish. I think that's true, right? It does sound like he's really interested in it. So much interested in what other people are doing. You know, he wants to go and, well, what's he want to do? Mock them? You know, I mean, I guess if you're like motivated so much to go mock other people, I what are you going to do about these people? I mean, they exist. I mean, yeah. I remember people like that on the playground, don't you? I mean, there's always some.
I imagine that these folks view themselves as the compassionate ones too.
Yeah.
Isn't that what drives you the craziest about it?
It is.
The thing is, like, it's like one of those superhero things where he's like, I would kill you, but then I'd be the same as you. You know, it's like, we would laugh at you if you died from the vaccine, but then we'd be the same as you. Like, we don't think that's funny. It's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's not funny if someone gets hurt from the vaccine.
I'm not celebrating when people are injured.
It's not funny if someone, you know, if the vaccine could have saved someone's life and they died. That's not funny either. Like, even if that's true, like, I just don't get it. Like, that's, this guy's a bunch of words that I can't say on this program anymore.
It's not, it's not funny that the vaccine, one shot to stop it. It's not funny that it's not as effective as it was touted out to be. Nobody, you know, in all the episodes we've talked about that, nobody here has ever cracked a joke about it. I think that stands for itself. It's not funny. You know, it just isn't. And I think this guy, you know, it's just really distasteful. And the fact that, you know, I think some people are jumping on this as their little way of getting a little bit of attention.
You know, if he was faced with the family of someone who was hurt or died, you know, thought to die from this vaccine, I guarantee he wouldn't say that to their face.
I agree with you. Well, look, we got a couple minutes here. I just want to hit a few headlines, and this is international, just to kind of, again, keep you aware of what's going on out in the world. Ireland is now the latest European nation mulling, considering mandatory vaccinations, mandatory shots. This comes from a paper from National Public Health Emergency Team, which is in Ireland, their Department of Health, and then a statement by Professor Karina Butler, who's chair of their National Immunization Advisory Committee, who said, quote, "It's always preferable if people can look at shots and have the information and be able to make informed decisions. But there can be situations where making a vaccine a requirement is necessary for the overall good." So again, the overall good, that's what's going on in Ireland. A little bit of slightly good news for maybe a moment in Austria, where the mandatory shots were supposed to begin in less than 3 weeks. There's now been a setback. They've suffered a setback, according to Euractiv.com, saying that because of technical complications, the registration for mandatory shots will only be possible by April, 2 months later than the government of Austria wants. Meanwhile, experts are questioning the effectiveness of mandatory shots in general. So just a couple of those headlines to, you know, that's what's going on in Europe. And this was just reported right now. I just saw this. I'll mention this. IKEA, the company, you guys know, I think, what, they're Swedish, Micah, Swiss, but they announced they're going to cut sick pay for unvaccinated staff who are forced to self-isolate. So if you end up having to self-isolate because they say you took a test and you've been exposed to COVID, they're going to cut your pay.
Yeah, I bet you the people who have been vaccinated have been out sick too. I know that numerous people have been in workplaces where the vaccinated employees have still had COVID and been out sick because they still have COVID. They still have to be out the same number of days. They still have to be, you know, the same period of for like a positive test plus 48 hours or whatever. So, I mean, it is just a way of discriminating in a way, because we're facing something that's not been faced before. At least that's their narrative, right? We've never overcome new viruses. So it is, obviously, if you have vaccinated employees that are taking time off because they're catching COVID, yeah, this is absolutely discriminatory.
Yeah, well, that's where we're going to have to leave it this week, guys. Freethinker Radio, we do this every week. We got a few stories we didn't get into. We'll bring them into the show next week. Got to talk about gain of function and Fauci and all that you might not be hearing elsewhere. But we're going to leave you with a song from Houston artist Darwin's Finches. And we'll be back next week, guys. Peace.
Okay. All right. So I'm rolling in this camera. And I'm rolling in this camera. And it's all you, dude.
Tom Santos.
I was born and raised in Fifth Ward, Texas. I played basketball in high school, and my friends, they all called me Spider-Man. They said, "Man, you move up and down the court like you're a spider." That's how I got my nickname. I consider myself the original Fifth Ward Spider-Man. Mom and Dad, they died a long time ago, but I don't want to talk about that. You know, the manager at the Fiesta, he just gives me the old bread and I just feed it to the birds. I ain't got nothing, so you know, I just try to give back. And I don't wanna be happy. I don't wanna be happy. I don't wanna be happy. Dawn, you know, she goes to the zoo every day with a green bag full of toilet paper and toothbrushes. She walks through the bird alleyway. She writes sideways and complains. She says, you don't take good care of those birds. You don't take good care of those birds. One day I saw her spread eagle on the ground. She said, I want to die right here with the birds. And I don't want to be happy. I don't want to be happy. I don't wanna be happy.
Hot sauce.
That's why you hate yourself. Oh my God. Okay, what do you need? Water? You want beer?
Is it good?
It was good.
You're listening to Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.